I will not be speaking on anything new. There is nothing new under the sun. We just talked about this in the just a while ago at home. Anything that you can think of, people already thought of. So when you don't act on it, or your new ideas, it will be old ideas. So there is nothing new under the sun, but many good reminders. So we are just going to be emphasizing again on what Pastor Edward has been preaching in the last few weeks, but going to draw out some that I've been meditating upon. And as I asked the Lord for this week, I woke up a few days ago and I've been telling God, because I dream a lot. And so I told God that, speak to me even when I'm sleeping. Do you believe God speak to us? God spoke to many people in the Bible while they are sleeping. And so if you don't hear God when you are awake, believe that God do speak in your dreams. And so I said, God, speak to me. But I woke up, it wasn't in a dream, but I woke up with a vision. The moment I sat up in my bed, I saw a vision just before I opened my eyes. And this would be the best representation visually that I can give you of what I see in the vision and the scripture that follows after that. Okay, let's just give this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you because your word carries power. And your word today for us, Lord, will be preached forth with your anointing, and you will empower that very word, no matter how simple it seems to be, no matter how familiar it seems to be, that, Lord, it will be a refreshing manna for us carry right into our spirit man, and it will begin to grow in our spirit man. Right now, in Jesus' name, I declare that word of God that's coming forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to sing right into every heart seated in this place. It will take root and it will explode massively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's recap what Pastor Ed has shared in a little while after I show you. My apprentice start. Continue the instruction with my apprentice. Alright, when I woke up, the vision that the Lord gave me was a water tank. It's a water tank. And the water tank, the Lord says, that represent our hearts. And the Bible says our heart is deceitful. 1 point for you, JC. Very good. But I didn't prepare any gifts today. Can see? If you can't see, please move. Because there's so many seats in front which is empty. I seriously do not understand why people like to be back benches. And then all I saw was water from above that came flowing right down into the heart. And it's just fresh, living water. Not too bad, huh? My aquarium looks a little bit like the atrium in our heart chambers, if you remember your anatomy and physiology. And the water just keep pouring. Of course, it is a very limited analogy because I'm just using a water bottle. I wanted to construct a more elaborate structure, but I thought, yeah, forget it lah. There's carpet here, you know. Okay. Would you just remember, capture this in your mind and hold it there so that when I refer back to the vision, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Yes? No need to demonstrate again, huh? Right. So the text that the Lord gave that very morning was a very familiar text for me. And I've said this so many times in the church. It's Romans 5:5. And I'm going to read the preceding verses before 5, that is verses 1 to 5 from ESV, but I'm told that he has not gotten the ESV. So If you have ESV, you turn to ESV, all right? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And here, I know NIV, I've been memorizing NIV, but this season I'm using ESV. And so NIV say that God's love poured into our heart to give us a hope that does not disappoint. So highlight verse 5, because that's the verse that God says. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts, just like what the vision that the Lord gave me, He was pouring His love into our hearts. And it's a continuous process of pouring as long as our heart is kept open unto the Lord. Following me? I like to read Message as well. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him. Now that is the position as children of God. We are justified by faith so that through peace we have this standing before God. And the Message says that by entering through faith, a simpler English, justified by faith, justification, such a big word, right? But Message make it very simple. By entering through faith, we have that standing before God. We've been made right before Him. We have it all together with God because our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already thrown open His door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hope we might stand, out in a wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. I was just thinking of Bartimaeus, the blind man that Pastor Edward preached last two Sundays. He was shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on me." In that, though he was blind, I was trying to also picture the position. Was he sitting? Was he kneeling? Was he crawling? Was he standing? But I think he was, he was standing tall in his spirit. He was standing tall in his spirit. No matter what physically how he was positioned, he was standing tall in his spirit, shouting out to the Son of David. Then, there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. Underline that if you have your Bible with you in Message. Can develop passionate patience in us. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers. This analogy here. We cannot round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Now, water is likened to the Holy Spirit. We cannot round up. And so this analogy is not enough to give you the picture how much God can lavish His love into our hearts. It's very limited. It's very limited. But I'm just showing you so that you can capture in your mind here a visual picture. So I really like this when because I know Romans 5:5 off head. But when I went to read the Message, it jumped on me what God showed me in the vision that morning when I woke up, and what He says here in the Message, that we will not have enough containers to hold what God has in store for us. And so the word that stands out in prayer, if you came for prayer just now, to me was believe. Do you believe? Do you believe like the son, the blind man calling out for son of David? Do you believe like the blind man? Because if we believe, God say, I can do more than you can imagine or ask for. So we have a problem even as children of God, not just you and me. We have a problem in our belief system. We have a problem in the level of our belief in the God that says that I will be who I am. And constantly I have to come before God to say, God, help me in my unbelief. I want to believe. I want to believe that I can see you like the blind man see you. If the blind man can see you, I can see you. I do not know how many of you really took those messages seriously and meditate upon it day and night and say, God, I want to see you. And that has been my earnest prayer for this season. For many seasons, of course. But every season, the Lord is just driving me into a more intensity of, God, I want more. I want to see you more. Because here, you see, he says, and then more to come. So there is no end to seeing God. And I've been crying out to God. I say, this is not enough, God. I want to see you. If the Bible Times heroes can see you in their everyday, I must be able to see you. Amen. And we ask, how come those days people can see God, hear God, touch God, feel God, encounter God? Why are we not experiencing it? Are we any different? We are still God's children. We have two eyes, two ears, two hands, two legs. Unless you're born deformed. But basically, we are the same human structure with the first man God created. And God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That means to say that if he allowed people to see him then, we must be able to see him now. Amen? Do you believe that you will see God today? I'm going to allocate time that we will enter into a supernatural time. And so coming back, reference to Bartimaeus, the blind man's earnest desire to see God, my question to us is, are we earnest like the blind man? And do you know, we were talking, I was just asking, some of the youth came to my house and have CG in my house and had a great time. And we forgot to eat dinner because we were just munching on cookies of different sort and different kind. We can have a cookie sale. And then I asked JC, what if next time the girl that you're going to marry soon have some drastic changes? What are you going to respond to it? How are you going to respond? Would you marry her? Would you not marry her? What would you do? And then he thought of different kind of things. Deformity, paralyzed, vegetable, comatose, face deformed. Then he paused for a moment. So I caught him. Quite a vain guy, because if the girl's face is deformed, he was like, he wasn't very quick to respond. And then he says, and then after that he said, blind. Oh, blind would be very hard. He said, blind would be very hard. For those single ladies, would you marry if the guy you're going to marry suddenly turned blind? Girls? About guys, like JC, would you immediately say, yes, my love for you is forever. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'll marry you. Now, being spiritually blind is even worse than physical blindness. We have physical eyesight, all of you. Very good. Some of you, 6/6. No spectacles, no contact lenses. But are you spiritually alert and keen in your eyesight? Or are you spiritually blind? How many of you are inspired by Helen Keller's story? Now I've done Helen Keller's story so many rounds with my children, and we have done projects on Helen Keller. And it just amazes us because she is such a marvelous lady. All because there is God in her life. And she say that those, she is not, I can't remember word for word, unless someone can help me out. She said that those of you who have eyesight are worse than me. You do not see. That's a shame on us, isn't it? That she can see God and we can't see. And we boast of the eyes that we have and colors that we enjoy. The shapes and the forms. But Helen Keller said, those of you who have eyesight, you're worse than me. You don't see, but I see. Powerful story. You should read Helen Keller. Louis Braille. And how she learned about water. Y'all grow up knowing this water. Because y'all can see. Y'all can hear. Y'all can touch. But she has no eyesight. And she was also deaf. And there's two main things that we use our senses in learning. I promise, Edward, I do not have 8 points, but I only have one. So I better get on. So, just keep Bartimaeus at the back of your mind. Keep division at the back of your mind. Now, we live in a very, very visual era, correct? And that's why I bring you this. Oh dear, this is bad. Can you give me a wet tissue or? I just told the YACG we had a session together. That me and the computer and IT, okay? We are not gamjing. I am not an IT person. I only touch the computer and gadget if I have to do work. I don't play games. And I was just thinking, God, it's just so strange. Why did I even born in this era? Because I really, really like paper and pens so much better than computers. I never trust computers. I have lost a lot of times, even if I backup or no backup, you know. The best thing is trust this. And paper and pen is better. Of course, it can be eaten up by pest. But because I'm not me and gadget, so I always use object lesson. That's the best. Three dimension, and you can see it, you can feel it, you can touch it. You want to smell, you can come and smell it. But it's just paint. So we see many images and fast images. Not only images, but we see very fast images. And we lose focus when the movement is slow. Right? Some of you only listen to fast song, slow song. Only thriller. Anything that's talking show. So we are capturing images and quick images. And video clips are made short nowadays. And people tells me a good video clip has to be so short because you want to capture the attention of your viewers. Correct? Media people. And so psychologist says that averagely, our human attention span is only 20 minutes. And interestingly, researchers' statistics says that generally Christians and even pastors pray 20 minutes per day. Interesting? Because that is our attention span. But very ashamedly, I say this. In our era, online viewers' attention span 60 seconds. This is not by Selena. This is by research that I research online. Any video clip more than 4 minutes, I was told by a teenager recently, because the mom showed me a video and said, hey, come on, watch this. And then the daughter said, mom, anything more than 4 minutes, we don't watch. Ouch. Teenagers and young people. We lose our viewer if our video clip is long. That's how short our attention span, 60 seconds. And this is the reality of our generation. And if we talk about seeing God, you hope you want to catch a glimpse of God in 60 seconds? Of course you can. But I think God is more interesting than 60 seconds, right? You want to behold Him. And all through the Bible says, behold, behold. What is behold? I love this word because behold means you capture that attention and you gaze right into it and you lock yourself and engage yourself in that look. That is beholding. That's beholding. That's beholding. That's beholding. Koala. Eye to eye contact locked in. Huh? Long ago, right? There's this Cantonese song says, "No hon chok lay, lay hon chok no." Leslie Cheung, long, long time ago. I look at you, you look at me. I gaze at you, you gaze at me. Now, if we are earnest like Bartimaeus to see God, then we need to consider three things. But out of these three things, Pastor Ed already elaborated on two last week. And today we just want to focus on one more and drill that in, which I believe God wants to deal with us today as He showed this vision. And then we're going to step right into, accelerate right into a supernatural time with Him. Good? Because I believe that when you come to church, you must expect to see God. I'm not saying that at home you don't, because God is with you everywhere. But more so when you come to church, everybody is bringing on their light. When you come together, we must synergize. It must boom. Are you with me? Don't wait. We don't have so many hours. Every one of you want to go home quick because you are short attention span. If I stand here and preach until 12, I know that I'll be preaching to an empty room except my husband and my children who by default have to stay in. Right. And so, let's just get into the presence of God. Don't wait. And so afterwards, we're just going to get into a supernatural time because we have to believe that we will see God. He talked about, today give you 3 P's, but 2 P's he's already talked about. But he didn't give you P's. I think he gave you S. I can't remember. He talked about passionate pursuit. Right? Because the blind man was so passionate in his beating towards Jesus. He was relentless that even in the midst of the crowd and being physically blind, not able to see, is a very anxious mode, you know, because you're not able to see. You're just groping. When electricity goes off at home, how many of you just enjoy? How many jump, oh, 没回了,没回了, 哎呦,打打蓝布. We are living in a, you know, we are so pampered. Suddenly electricity go off, we cannot grope in the dark anymore. But how many have you done that? Groping in the dark and trying so hard to find things. But this blind man, despite being blind, he was relentless, he was passionate in pursuing Jesus. He cried out aloud to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." If you say you're passionate, then you must do something about that passion. Passion must drive you to pursue. And the word pursue is a very active word. You can't pursue Jason if you're sitting on that chair, if your butt is stuck there. And that's why I made you guys move. And in that simple manner of moving, some of you are so sluggish, man. Just move from one to the other, also so sluggish. So while we can pick up temperament right away from the way you walk from one chair to another. Zacchaeus is another character in the Bible that showed us his desperation to see Jesus. He was very desperate. And that passion in him make him pursue. And his passionate pursuit make him move. He repositioned himself. If you are not seeing Jesus from where you are, you got to reposition. You got to move your butt and then get up like Zacchaeus and climb that sycamore tree. We don't have sycamore tree here, do we? Papaya tree, banana tree, flame of the forest. He make a radical move up that tree just to see Jesus. Passionate pursuit involves action. And that was another analogy I was trying to tell you, that if you say you're passionate in the house of God, then you better be moving in the house of God. If you are not moving in here, how can you move out there? You got to be motivated and then you get mobilized outside. You cannot be motivated and just going around here, because motivation alone is not enough. I was telling the YA, as a team, what do you need? You need to minister to one another. You need to motivate, but not enough. You need to get out there. You need to mobilize. And when we are passionate about someone or something, we cannot just sit still, can we? Can we? Can we? When you're in love, I'm looking there, so many young people. When you're in love, no need to point fingers, because if you point fingers, I also have fingers to point, you know? I was just telling the CG yesterday, hello, I'm a mama. I have antenna very high. I have eyes everywhere. I have little birds flying all around and telling me stories. When you're in love, when you want to pursue someone, do you sit still? We ask to just marry. Do you sit still? No. You do something. When my husband was pursuing me then, every day he take his motorbike to Falim. Vroom, 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 vroom. New car, motorbike. He got to do something. I'm not going to run to Glugor to see him, but he got to do something. When you say that you have a passion in writing, you got to do something. You can't just dream, I want to write, I want to write. You got to write. You kena bertindak, kan? When you say you have a passion to learn guitar, then pick up the guitar and learn. You can't sit there and say, I have a passion to play the guitar. I know some of you are thinking, I have passion to eat. In an hour's time, we're going to eat. We'll get into action. If you have a passion to eat, you need to have a passion to cook. Because you can't depend all your life people cooking for you. So you need to do something. I need to do something. And when we are passionate about something, someone, we have to arise and do it. And that's why I'm wearing this Nike. Be transformed. Just do it. Just do it. That is the motto of the choleric. Just do it. Don't talk so much. Just do it. So here we're talking about our subject being Jesus. We're talking about our subject being Jesus. So our passion, if we say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. What are you doing to pursue him? God pursues us, yes. But what are we doing to pursue him? What are we doing if we sing, I love your presence. I love your presence, Father, where you are. And that's where I want to be. Only on a Sunday at 5 p.m. It has got to be a daily thing. It has to be an every moment. When you love someone, you want to be with that someone all the time or most of the time, right? My boyfriend is a very wise man. When he was courting me, he says, I love you and you love me, but we must never come to the point to say that I cannot live without you. He said, that is a wrong statement because you cannot live without God. You cannot tell another person and say, I cannot live without you. Yes, you can. You can. When the person passed away, you get over the grief and you move on. You break up in a relationship, you get healed, you move on. But you cannot and I cannot live without God. That's the saying of the wise man. And so our subject here is Jesus. What are we doing to pursue Jesus? I love your presence. But when you go back, every free time you have, you're on the gadget, you play games, you're on the Facebook, you're chatting, sleeping. Some of you say, I don't do all this, but sleep, sleep, sleep. Watching TV. Show after show. So you think and you answer, what are your actions involved to pursue Jesus? Secondly, Pastor Ed also say that Bartimaeus respond immediately when Jesus say to him, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. And what did Jesus say? Jesus say, go. And he got up and he went. Right? That was what I was trying to tell you all. This guy, just as Zacchaeus. And Jesus say, Zacchaeus, you come down. Today, I'm going to your house. Zacchaeus, you come down. And he came down. When I, of course, I'm not God, but I'm just trying to tell you all the level of your obedience. When I ask you all to move, there is none, absolutely none in this room that got up immediately and moved, just as Pastor Selena said. All of you got up. Should we move? Should we not? Lagi teruk, JC. Move. I say move like that. He moved the other way. But at least he moved lah. But he moved the other way. Wrong way. Huh? Some of you still seated. Despite I say a few times, still seated. Some of you show face lagi. Move only. Move seat only. But here, Jesus said to the blind man, go. And he went. Zacchaeus, you come down. And he came down. Immediate. They acted upon the instruction given immediately. In a hospital, we say stat. When the doctor say do it stat, S-T-A-T, it means now, now. No question, now. And that is the kind of obedience that God wants from us. So the second P is practice of obedience. We got to keep practicing our obedience until we go until that level. Here, again, I cannot emphasize enough that radical obedience being one of our DNA in the church. We talk about being radically obedient. And this is the kind. And radical obedience is nothing extraordinary. Why? It is the norm of anyone who wants to see God. You want to see God, you be radical to obey. How are you going to see God if God is here, standing here, and he says, come, and you're still thinking, why do I need to go? How to go? When to go? He said, come. If God say, come, come. If God say, go, go. So just now was a test of your obedience unto me. Very bad analogy, but still a very simple instruction. Move from one column to the next column. And I didn't even give you two instructions in a row. I'm treating you like a toddler because you can't tell a toddler several instructions at one go and then make sure that they get those several instructions done. I can tell a big child to say, can you go into the kitchen and into the blue cupboard on the right and get me the red cup? That child can do that. But I can't tell a little child to do that. You can only say, go to the kitchen. Then they will go to the kitchen. Go to the blue cupboard. Then they go to the blue cupboard on the right. Open it up on the right. Did you see that red cup? Get me that red cup. Now, that was exactly what I was doing to you guys. One step at a time. And that also you failed miserably. Miserably. Absolutely. So when God gives us an instruction, we got to move. Are you with me, people? Are you with me? That's just a simple analogy. I didn't give you two instructions in one go. I gave you one at a time. And every instruction, all of you will still pause. Maybe the second, maybe some of you were more ready. But still, the more ready one I observe, you were looking at your peers, left, right, in front, whether people actually move. If you are sure, you move. You make them move, kick their butt. The Bible asks us to kick people's butt, right? Hebrews. Pastor Ed preached this umpteen times. Huh? Let us spur each other. And the word spur means kick. Third one. That is for today. Purity. Purity. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Now, Romans 5:5 says that God's love are poured into our heart. And in the message, it says that it's been poured into our hearts that we don't even have enough containers to take hold or bear the lavishing of God's love. Like an ongoing fountain. The vision that I got was not a fountain. It was like a hose, you know, like a hose just coming down, you know, like the faucet is on and the water is just gushing down. So maybe you should ask, did you on your faucet in your spiritual life? The source is there, but you got to on. It's your action to on it. Then the water will come. Our state of purity doesn't come from our own merit or ability. We all know that. Because our heart is deceitful. It's dark. All those hidden stuff right inside here is dark. The Bible says no one, absolutely no one, is righteous except God Himself. So the heart is deceitful above all things. ESV say, and desperately sick. NIV say, beyond cure. That's our heart. Our heart is desperately sick. Beyond cure. Who can understand it? You says me. Yes, that's you and that's me. We have to be honest. You say, but I didn't kill, never destroy, never tell lies. What about other things? Now, I don't like to label people negatively, and I don't like to call people by the name stupid and dumb and idiot, you know. But I mix with a group of friends. They are lovely friends, you know, but they like to call people idiots, you know. And so Edward was one of the idiots they call. So my good friends will call you idiot. When they do nothing, if he doesn't do the right thing for them, he's an idiot. So I don't like to do that. I'm not condemning my friends, but it's just not me. I don't believe in calling that. But I caught my heart when I started driving. When the Lord delivered me from 2Ds, I praise God. I say, the Lord delivered me from 2Ds. One is driving in 2005, and one is dogs in 2015. So I'm waiting for another 10 years. There'll be another big deliverance. But I'm saying, God, can you cut short that 10 years? And God, now. And so when I started driving in 2005, I was a very courteous driver. And my husband says, you cannot make it in Penang. You can only make it in Sarawak. If you're so courteous, you'll never cross the road. And so when I was driving in Australia recently, I'm like, wow, this is so nice. You put right signal, need people slow down so that you can go. Here you put right signal, they accelerate so that you can't go. And I say, God, I'm so ashamed that this is my society. How can we change that? But when I started driving, I caught myself. Every time the biker or people come and do all these crazy things, you know, this week itself, I almost have 2 accidents. I just cannot understand why people cannot follow rules. What's their problem? And so the instant word that will come out is stupid. Then maybe some of you say, yeah, stupid only one. What's so big deal? You know, not vulgar. But I don't feel good, you know. But it just comes out. Every time a reckless driver or biker come and do some funny things in front of my car, and I go, stupid! And then my kids were like, Mom, I'm like, I'm sorry, because you just called someone stupid. But don't you think it's stupid? I said, doing things like that. So I caught myself saying things like that. So maybe I don't kill, I don't murder, I don't tell lies. I still say stupid things. So our heart is deceitful, desperately sick. Who can understand it? But God does. God understands. Only He understands. Look at what message says. The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful. Hopelessly dark and deceitful. A puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, capital letters, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. You think you can try to escape and run away from the closest person to you? God says, I, God, search the heart, examine the mind. I get right to the root of things and I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. There is no power of deception that can come before God. Every deception will be exposed. You can go on deceiving yourself and other people, but you will never, I will never deceive God. It's in His word. So the virtual lesson here today is hopefully you capture what God is trying to tell us today. That our heart is desperately sick. That we're beyond cure. Who can understand? We can't understand. Sometimes we can't understand. Can you understand? Sometimes I can't understand. Why am I feeling so down? Come on. But God says, I do. And I'm going to treat it the way it is. No pretense. So love poured out into our heart. The title of my message will be, Love Displaces Impurities. Love displaces impurities. This is a science experiment. If you have not done this experiment and learned about displacement, you know that word? What is happening here when God's love is poured down by the work of the Holy Spirit, likened to the water, when the fresh living water is poured down, what happened is all this impure water will have to be displaced, means have to get out of this particular space to make space for this new water that's coming in. That's displacement. So this water, this dark, dirty, murky water is being displaced by the fresh living water from above. The source is God. Come to church to learn science. So what are the impurities? Hate, greed, lust, vanity, selfish ambition, deceit, impatience, anger, fear? Huh? You say fear also? Fear also impurity, man? Scared only, man? I just told the YA, fear is a sin. And unless you acknowledge it, it will not go away. You ask for deliverance, it will still not go away until you acknowledge and repent. And so I gave my example. I was fearful of dogs and I was fearful of driving. Until God says, hello, Selena, you are not to fear anything except fear me. And I dropped down on my knees and said, God, for the first time ever, I could associate my fear of driving as sin. It was never seen to me as a sin that I should fear. I was bound by fear that I couldn't drive. until the day I drop down on my knee and I say, God, forgive me for sinning against you because I have fear over driving right now. In Jesus' name, I break that. The next day I say, Kenny, let's go for a drive. And my good, patient brother took me for a drive. If it's my husband or my daddy, kaput lah. But they are good drivers, but they are very high standard. But Kenny is very patient. He just patiently guide me through Penang. And after that, I drove. Just one simple prayer. Just one simple prayer. And that's impurity. Discontentment, envy, so on, so forth, etc., etc. You name it, because you know your heart. If you don't know, tell God, would you search my heart, examine, expose all this nonsense. When God searches our heart, what does He do? We don't have to be afraid. He uses love. He uses love to cleanse. And His perfect love casts out all fear. That is written in His word, 1 John 4:18. And that verse says, if you still have fear, because God's love is perfect love. If you still have fear, or I still have fear, meaning to say that we have not fully experienced the fullness of God's perfect love. Because if we are in touch with His perfect love and know that He is a loving Father, He will not do anything to harm you or harm me, then we will say that, God, I surrender. His perfect love casts out all fear. So when God's love pours into our heart to cleanse, sins will be confronted. But we need not be fearful because God comes to discipline. He doesn't come to punish. And there is a difference between between discipline versus punishment. Because punishment is for wrongdoings and punishment can be abuse. Punishment have negative connotation. Punishments are penalty and sentence that's put on you for any wrongdoing. And a lot of time is imposed usually with undesirable consequences or abuse or inflicted suffering. But whereas when God disciplines us with His love, it is for our own good. Amen. He did not promise that His discipline will not be painful, but He promised that it will be good for us. God's love poured into our heart is through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us the given advocate and counselor, the Holy Spirit, teaches us in all things. And that is John 14:26. And so if He poured down into our hearts His love through the Holy Spirit, means we're given, we've been promised of a counselor who will faithfully walk with us to lead us through every generation, time, season, circumstances, situation, up and down, defeat and sorrow, failures and success. He will go through with us, lead us, cheer us, teach us, comfort us. That is who the Holy Spirit is. Because the Bible says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Not one, two, three things, but all things. That means to say in every situation in our life, we can come to the Holy Spirit to ask for help, including your studies. Don't think only your teacher is smart. They're human beings too. And sometimes they teach the wrong thing. If you do not know, ask the Holy Spirit. And will remind you of everything I have said to you, or another version say, will remind you or bring to remembrance of the things I have said to you. That's who the Holy Spirit is. That's who God is giving us. And I really love another verse that says that, you see, this has a connection. And I talked about this before. When God pours that into our heart, it goes into our spirit and out of this belly shall flow fresh living water. It's not for us to keep. Comes down, goes in, goes out. You can't go out there unless you receive. You have to receive before you can go. Kena input baru ada output kan? In hospital, all the nurses, the first thing we learn before we learn injection and drip, we learn to measure input and output. It has to balance. There's no input, there's no output. As easy as that. But if there's input and there's no output, we're in trouble. And when there's output, 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 and no input, also in trouble. Are you with me? Because input, you get just bloated. No output. But if you have output over your input, you'll be drained. You will die. So God pours His love into our heart and washes out all impurities, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when His love displaces all these impurities in our heart, we will begin to see clearer. We will not be muddled. We will not be cluttered, because a heart that makes space for God is a place where He dwells in, is where you make peace with God and make peace with yourself. You come to a rested place. And when you come to a rested place in the presence and love of God, secured in that love of God, rested in that presence, despite everything around you is chaotic, that's when we begin to see. That's when we begin to focus. And if you can't focus, you can't see. And that's why the Bible says, for the pure shall see God. For the pure shall see God. That's all I have to say. Blessed are those who are pure, for they shall see God. Do you want to see God? If you want to see God, if I want to see God, we have to passionately pursue Him. We have to practice obedience. We have to ask God for a pure heart. And we cannot do it ourselves. Only God can. And when God comes and purifies us, of course we're purified first by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we apply that blood all the time. But we need a continuous refreshing from the fountain of life. The verse that the Lord gave me, my personal verse for this year that I'd like to share to you, is from Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Every year I ask God for a theme verse that will carry me through the entire year, that will grow me. And this is a practice for many years, and I find it very helpful, because when God gives a verse that I cling on for the entire year, I have a live verse for my entire life, but every year I ask for a verse for the entire year. And it's a verse that I declare over myself, I pray over myself, and I hang on when I'm down. I go back, I study again and again. Just one verse. Sometimes one passage, but usually one or two verses. And I find it very helpful. I pass it down to my children. Hopefully it's helpful for them. It may be a practice that you want to pick up, that you ask God for a verse that will carry you through. And that's my verse, that I will be like a well-watered garden where my water does not run dry. And my water can only not run dry if I keep opening my heart and say, God, pour, pour, pour. Let's rise. We want to enter into this time and say, God, purify me, because I want to see You. God, I want to see You before I go back today. I just want to see You. I don't care, but God, I want to see You. Sharabakariyanto sakariyanda. Horianda serianda rasariyande. Those who can speak in tongues, will you start speaking in tongues? Ratashariyandu gabasekiyanda. How beautiful presence. Thank You, Lord, because You are good. And You are here. God, we know You are here right from the beginning. You know our hearts, Lord. Here we are, God, totally open to You. And God, if there's any difficulty to just open our hearts, Father, would you grant us grace? Grace to just open up our hearts to receive, oh Lord, the refreshing water that represent your love and your spirit to be poured into our hearts, oh God. Because Lord, we are thirsty. Oh Lord, we are thirsty. We are hungry for you, God. We want to see you, God. That blind man saw Jesus. God, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus today. We want to see Jesus every day, God. Oh, karabasharianda rabase. Help us, oh Lord, in our unbelief, God. Right now, in Jesus' name, we break unbelief in the midst. God, we ask, oh God, that we be connected to you right now, in Jesus' name.